Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf chaf tes. We are holding on daf chaf ches amid beis. We're at the two dots, about 5-6 lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So the first thing we're going to discuss is what the status is of a karov shenisrachek, someone who used to be a relative, but is no longer a relative. The link that connects the two people has died. So if they're related by marriage and the person who connects them has died, are they still considered to be relatives with regard to psulei edus and psulei dayanus? The Gemara is going to discuss also this on the top of Amud Aleph, the source for the shitos of an ohev and a sone serving as a dayan and serving as an aid, where we find the different shitos in Tanayim or what they're based on. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss the process of arriving at a Gemara Din. What we say to the Edim, how the vote goes, what happens in the aftermath of the vote in terms of determining whether the person is guilty or the person is innocent. The Gemara is then going to bring three shitos on how exactly it is that we scare the Edim about lying. We certainly have to tell them something frightening so that they should know not to lie. Three shitos on what exactly we tell them in order to frighten them. The Gemara tells us that Edim are only allowed to testify to a hoda'ah, that someone admitted that he owed money, if the Nitva asked them to be Edim, but just overhearing that someone said, that someone admitted that he owed money, is not sufficient to testify about it. We're going to have two different sources for the notion of Ein Ta'an in Lemesis toward the bottom of Amud Aleph, and we're going to have three different sources for the notion of Kalamosif Gareya, that sometimes when you add something, you're actually subtracting. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to bring cases where someone admits to owing money, but is then allowed to change his mind, meaning we had Edus, we know for sure he admitted to owing money, but then he's allowed to say, nah, I was just joking, or he's allowed to say other things to get himself out of it. He's allowed to say that that he doesn't really owe the money at a later date. The Gemara is going to tell us different circumstances where Edim can write a hoda'ah in a shtar even without explicit permission, meaning even though generally you can only write a shtar hoda'ah that a person owes money if he has explicit permission to write it, we're going to have certain cases where you don't need explicit permission. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss whether you could rely on a shtar hoda'ah where the wording wasn't done right. It's not abundantly clear from the shtar that it was written with the permission of the moda. Can you rely on such a shtar hoda'ah? So let's begin at the bottom of Chaf Chesam Beis at the two dots, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So this is going back on what the Mishnah had said. Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah that if you have a case of a karov, the nisrachek, Rabbi Yehuda says, afilu mesa bito v'yesh labanim imena hareza karov, that even if a person has a son-in-law, and the son-in-law was married to his daughter, and then the daughter died, but he has grandchildren from that marriage, then they're still considered to be krovim, they're not considered to be strangers anymore. So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Tanchum, Am Rabbi Tavlo, Am Rabbi Brono, Am Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Rava Amar Rav Nachman, ein halach k'Rabbi Yehuda, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, v'chein Am Rav Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan, ein halach k'Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Ika demasin lahad the Rava Bar Baruch Hanan, aha. Some had Rava Bar Baruch Hanan's statement in a different context, in the following context. As zu dorsh Rabbi Yosi Aglili, uvasa al kohanim al aviyim ve'al ha-shofet, asher yeh bayam mahem, that you should come to the kohanim, the aviyim, and the judges that exist in your days. V'chisala al dait chashad maholich etzol shofet shalo yu bayamav. Is there a possibility to think for even a moment that a person would go to dayanim that don't exist during his tkufa, during his time period? Obviously, the only dayanim you can go to are the dayanim that are bayam mahem, that exist during your time period. Ella zeshayakarov v'nisrachik. Now we're saying that you go to a dayan who's a kosher dayan at that moment, even if he was once related to you. If he's no longer related to you, he's a karov v'nisrachik, you can still go to that dayan. That's an example of a dayan that's only bayam mahem. Had you gone to him a month earlier, a year earlier, he would not have been a kosher dayan. Amar Rabbi Avrachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that we paskin like this statement of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yonah points out Shabbat, he says, you know, what's the Chiddush? What's Rabbi Yossi Aglili? If he's trying to be cholik on what Rabbi Yehuda says, that son-in-law that has banim, that you have grandchildren from that daughter is pasul even lachar misa, how does he bring a raya from a pasuk? It doesn't say anything about karov and nisrachik. According to Rabbi Yehuda, meaning it's talking about someone who's a karov and nisrachik over there. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he'll explain that pasuk about a chasana that mesa bito and ain't no banim imena. So, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there is such a notion of a karov and nisrachik. So how exactly is Rabbi Yossi Aglili arguing on Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there exists. You know, to say halacha like Rabbi Yossi Aglili sounds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there exists an idea of karov v'nisrachik. Meichi tesi that Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda just thought that it's not called nisrachik if you already have grandchildren from that person. So Rabbi Yochanan shouldn't have paskined like Rabbi Yossi Aglili because there's no one that disagrees. Of course you pasken like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. You don't need to say Allah Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So says Rabbi Yonah, he's trying to show the din that a carbon nisrachik is kosher. And Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yossi Aglili on that even that din is not agreed upon by everybody. Meaning it's not universally accepted that a carbon nisrachik is kosher because Rabbi Akiva, who listed the psulim in the Mishnah, did not distinguish between son-in-law when the wife is alive and when the wife is already dead. It's only Rabbi Yossi who disagrees and says, like the Mishnah Rishona, that the din of Eidus is Tali and Yerusha. Only he holds of that chiluk, that there's a difference between whether the daughter is dead or alive. So you see that it is a machlokas tanaim. And a chinami, it's not a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Yehuda, but it is a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. So that's how the Rabbi Yonah understands. The Arama points out that Rabbi Yossi Aglili does in fact argue on Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what we're saying, that the halachas like Rabbi Yossi Aglili are not like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbi Yehuda would hold that this is not a status, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili would extend the status of Karvan Esrachek even when the daughter has died and they already have children. Says the Gemara a story. B'nei Chamua de Marukva Krovim v'nisrachu havu. The sons of the father-in-law of Marukva, meaning his brothers-in-law, his wife's brothers, were Krovim, but then his wife died, so they are no longer Krovim to him. Asul kamei ledina, and they had a din Torah in front of Marukva. Amalahu pesil nilchu ledina. Marukva says, I can't judge this case. I am possible to be the dayan in a case involving my brothers-in-law. Amalei, my datech, Rabbi Yehuda. Why would you say that you're possible? Because you assume like Rabbi Yehuda that we're still related? Anan maisina nigarta mi ma'arava, dein alach Rabbi Yehuda. What, just because you have children from our sister, you think you're still related like Rabbi Yehuda? We'll produce a letter that came from Eretz Yisrael that says that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning you want to know what the correct psak is? He's obviously familiar with all the shitos, but sometimes you can be familiar with all the shitos. You don't know what the minig is, what people paskin like. We'll bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael that tells you that ein alach Rabbi Yehuda. Amr lehu, atu bekava dekira id bakna b'chu. What, delo kamina psil nilchul dina, ulmishum delo saisinu dina. You think I'm so connected to you that's what I'm worried about, that we're still related? That's not why I said that I'm possible to be a dayan to you. I know that we're not still related. I said that I'm possible to be a dayan because I knew that you're not going to listen to whatever I have to say in din, meaning sometimes you develop such a close relationship over time that you're not going to have the proper respect for him as a dayan. So he says, I knew that you're just not going to treat me as a dayan. I know that technically speaking, I'm still kosher to be a dayan. I'm not going to be biased in my din, but you're not going to really listen to me. The Or HaZeruah writes in Simin Mem Vav that from here we can prove that even though there's a mitzvah sasei to be a dayan, if the dayan knows that the balei din are not going to listen to him, meaning he knows that he's not going to be an effective dayan, he has no chiyuv. Meaning one might say, what do you mean? It's your responsibility. If you're a qualified dayan and they came to you to be a dayan, your responsibility is to be a dayan. It's similar to a rabbi who has a responsibility to answer shailas. That if you, you know, I remember Rabbi Willig was asked to be a posek for a certain group that he disagreed with. He didn't agree with their hashkafa or whatever. So he asked Rabbi Shechter, should I answer their shailas? He said, you're a rabbi, you have a responsibility. If someone asks you a shaila, you have to answer the shailas. You don't, so he says, Rabbi Shechter says, jump, I say, how high? So that's it. So that's how he became the posek for that group. He doesn't publicize it. They publicize it. He doesn't publicize it. But okay, so that's the idea that one might have thought that a dayan has to do it. You're qualified to be a dayan. You must be a dayan. So no, says the Arzurua. You see over here that it's that what overrides that is your ability to be effective as a dayan. If you don't feel that you're going to be effective, then you don't have to serve as a dayan in such case. Oev ze shushvinu. An oev is a shushvin. An oev is someone who escorted him to his chuppah, who celebrated with him. So v'kama, for how long does he have to have celebrated with him in order for him to be considered an oev? Or for how long after the wedding, the way Rashi understands it, for how long after the wedding do we still consider him an oev? Amar v'yav, amar v'yam, amar v'yam, kol shuvis yimei mishta. Throughout the entire Sheva Brachos. Rabban, mishmeid, rava, amar, afil miyom rishon ve'elach. No, just the first day. After the first day, he's already just a regular person. He's no longer considered to be this special kind of ohev that we have to be concerned of some sort of bias. Hasone kol shlo diber, we said hasone is defined as anyone who hasn't spoken to someone for 3 days because of eva. That's not stam that they didn't speak to each other, but they haven't spoken to each other because of animosity that they have toward each other. Tanu rabbanan v'hu lo oyev lo, the pasuk says, person who you are not an enemy to, yidenu. So for him, you could be an aid. And you don't seek any evil to him, meaning you're not an enemy of his, yidinenu. You're allowed to be a dayan. So you see from here, from this pasuk, that a sone is not allowed to be an aid nor a dayan, because in order to qualify as an aid or a dayan, it has to be lo oyev lo and lo mevakesh ra'aso. So ashkechan sone, we only find that a sone is pasul. Ohev min nalan. Where do we see that an ohev is also pasul? Kari behachi. So you have to touch the pasuk up as follows. V'hulo oyevlo, and we should add to the pasuk, v'lo ohevlo. If the person is not an enemy, and is also not someone you particularly love, then yidenu. And the second phrase, v'lo mevakesh ra'aso, and we should add, v'lo tovaso, and you're also not mevakesh anything particularly good about the person, you don't have any positive relationship, yidinenu, then you serve as a dayan. So says Gemara, that's nice that you added words to the pasuk, but midi ohev ksiv, it doesn't really say the word ohev, it says lo oyev, it doesn't say ohev. Ela svaruhu. No, you want to know how I know that an ohev is not allowed to serve as neder or dayan? It's a svara. Oyev my time o mishum demarach kadaite. Why is it that an oyev cannot serve as neder or dayan? Because we're afraid that he's going to be biased in the negative. Oyev nami mikra vadaite. We have the same concern about an oyev just in the positive, that he's going to be biased in the positive. So the same svara to disqualify an oyev is the same svara we could use to disqualify an ohev, that he simply cannot maintain objectivity when dealing with someone that he has such strong emotional feelings about. Rabbanan, hai lo oyev lo v'lo mevakesh ra'aso, my darshi bei. What did the Rabbanan use the pasuk of lo oyev lo v'lo mevakesh ra'aso to teach? If the Rabbanan were the ones that said, lo nechshedu Yisrael al kach, we're never choshed that a Jewish person is going to testify falsely based on his emotional feelings about a person. So what do they do with the pasuk? So chad the dayan, one is to tell us about a dayan, that ain't a chinami, an oyev cannot serve as a dayan. Idach, and the other phrase, Kedetanya, Amr of Yosef Rav Yudah, V'hulo oyev lavlom v'akesh ra'aso, Mikan l'shnei tamid chamish ha'son zezeh, she'in yoshem b'din ke'echad. That's to teach us that two tamid cham that have such strong feelings about each other cannot be dayanim together on the same case. Not only can they not be a dayan to someone else, the second phrase is not to tell me that they're disqualified from being an aid. No, edus, they'll be totally objective, we're not worried about. But they're not even allowed to serve as a dayan together on the same case. The Rambam writes in the 23rd paragraph of the Sanhedrin that a person is not allowed to be done to someone who's an ohev, even though he's not his shushvin, velo reyo asher kenafsho. He is not a beloved friend, and he's also not allowed to serve as a dayan to someone that he dislikes, even though he's not ohev lo and he's not mevakesh ratzo. The two baledinim have to be completely equal in the eyes of the dayanim. That's what the Rambam writes. So says the Kesef Mishnah, even though it does not sound that way from our Gemara. Our Gemara sounds like the ohev and the sone that Rabbi Yehuda passels for edus, those are the same ohev and sone that the Rabbanan passel the dayanus. Meaning the Rabbanan say, I'm never worried about an ohev and a sone for edus. I'm only worried about it for dayanus. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm worried about it even for edus. These definitions that we have of an ohev of and a sone are within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that these guys cannot be Edim. So the Pashup Shad is that same definition of Oev and Sone is used by the Rabbanan just as far as Dayanus is concerned, not as far as Edus is concerned. So if that's the case, then that's against the Rambam. The Rambam expands the definition of an Oev and Sone within the sheet of the Rabbanan. So where does the Rambam get this from? So says the Kesef Mishnah, we find a Gemara in Ksubas Taf Kufhei that Rav Papa said that a din of an Oev and a Sone at all, the Gemara says over there. The Gemara gives examples where someone does a minor favor for somebody else, and he says, that's it, I cannot be your dayan. I'm not able to serve as your dayan. Even the tiniest little favor for somebody else. Not that it's his best friend who brought him to the chuppah. No, even the tiniest little favor. So it's based on an entirely different sugya, because Eina Chinami, our sugya, cannot be the source of that Rambam. Beis Yosef writes from Lashon of the Rambam that it's usher for them to be a dayan. Sounds like it's only Nisr L'chatila. But B'dieved, Dineyam Din. B'dieved, if they did serve as a dayan, it would work. And that would be true by every Oev and a Sone, because he's not mechalik between an Oev and a Sone. Meaning even Oev and Sone Gemurim, the Rambam would hold this way, the Beis Yosef points out. So that's the Ha'ara and the Shitas HaRambam, that it sounds a little differently than what it says in our Gemara. So says the Mishnah now, Ketzad Botkenes HaEdim. How exactly do we check into the Edim to make sure that they're telling the truth? So HaYimachnisos on the Cheder U'ma'aymin Alehen. We'd bring them into a room and we'd start telling them scary things. And we take everybody out of the room when we're having this conversation. Meaning it sounds like that first we're ma'ayim, and then we have the following after Motzinus Kol Adam L'chutz, meaning we're describing the Seder Advarim. In front of everybody, we're Ma'ayim and Aleim, then Motzinus Kol Adam L'chutz, Umishayrinus HaGadol Shebehen, Va'omrim Lo, Emor Heichat Yodeh Shezeh Chayev L'zeh. And once everyone leaves, we then only leave the Gadol Shabi Edim, the more prominent of the two Edim, and we ask him, how do you know? You're testifying that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. How do you know that Reuven owes Shimon this money? Im Amar hu Amar li shani chayev lo, or Ish Ploni Amar li shu chayev lo, lo Amar klum. If you say, well, he once told me in conversation that he owes the money, or you say, I heard it through the grapevine that he owes the money, that's nothing. That's not Edus. Ad sheyomer befanenu hodelo shu chayev lo masayim zuz. No, you need to have been witnesses that in front of you he admitted to the other party. Not stam, he told you in private conversation. That he admitted to the other party in front of you as witnesses that he owes that masayim zuz. Only then are you able to testify about it. So good, so the one aid, the Gadol Shabam, testifies about this. Then v'acharkach machnis nesasheni ubotkin oso. Then we bring the second guy into the room and we check him as well. So im nimtzu divrei mechuvanim, if it turns out that they're saying the same thing, that their stories align with each other, nosim v'nosim b'davar, so the dayanim start to discuss the matter. Shnayim omrim, then they're going to vote. So shnayim omrim, zakai v'echad omer chayiv, zakai. If two of the dayanim vote l'zuchus and one votes l'chiyuv, so he's zakai. Shnayim omrim, chayiv v'echad omer zakai, chayiv. A 2-1 vote in the other direction, that wins as well. But what if Echromer Chai Vechromer Zakai,
Or even, afilu shnayim mezak no shnayim mechayven vechromer in yodeya, what if they reach a stalemate? Now, stalemate can be reached when one person says any yodeya and the other two disagree with each other, but it could also be reached when one person says any yodeya and the other two are in agreement with each other. Yosif v'adayanim, we then have to add more dayanim to the case. Gomro sedavar, when they finish the discussion, yimachnis nasan agadol shabadayan omer ish ploni atazaka, ish ploni atachayv. They bring the balei din back in, and the gadol shabadayanim speaks on behalf of all the dayanim, and he says, you so and so are chayv, and you so and so are zakai. Uminayin l'chshiyetze lo yomar anim zaka v'chaveri mechayvim, avu ma'esa shechaveri rabu alai. From where do we learn that when they leave the courtroom, you're not allowed to say, look, I really voted in your favor, but I was outvoted. You know, it's not my fault. It was a 2-1 vote. I'm only one man, so that's why I lost. But I was really your friend. I was really on your side. How do I know you're not allowed to do that? Al zenemar holich rochem legalasod. That's what it says. Holich rochem legalasod. A person is not allowed to reveal such secrets. Now that's our gears. If you take out the parentheses, there's with the parentheses lo selich rochem ba'mecha. Ve'omer holich rochem legalasod. That there are two psukim that are being quoted. Tos Yantif raises the question, why does the Mishnah have to bring two Pesukim? What was wrong with the first Pasuk? And furthermore, the first Pasuk is from the Torah, the second one is from Sefer Mishlei. Do Divrei Torah require Chizik from Divrei Ksuvim? That you need a Pasuk from Ksuvim? The words of the Torah itself are not enough. So Tos Yantif suggests, from the Pasuk of Loselech Rachel, it would sound like the Isser is only Lelechas Ulegaros Madonu Meriva, to go and to dredge up some fights. But there's no Isser for a person to save himself from sinas chavero, like someone who wants that the baldin shouldn't hate him. So he says, I really want it to be mezakeh you. So that's why the Mishnah brings a pasuk in Mishlei where it says that the Yisra of Rechilus is even just begiloy sod, even if you're not holech rachil, even if you just reveal a secret. The deos of the dayanim are a sod. They're not interested in their shita being exposed and what exactly they voted being exposed. And that's why the Mishnah quotes two psukim. That's how the Tosos Yontif has it. That's assuming that you have that girsa in the Mishnah. But again, as we said, there are many that do not have the girsa in the Mishnah, but then you still need to explain why not, meaning why not quote that first pasuk. And Tosos Yontif's answer works for that as well, that you don't quote that pasuk because it doesn't really explain our case as well. We only have the second pasuk from Mishlei, which explains our case much better. The Chavetz Chaim in Chelek Beis and Klal Alf and Bermayim Chaim writes that you see from here that the Yisra of Rechilus is even when the guy that they're telling you about would be Moda, or even if he is Moda, because he thinks that he's correct, because he did something that is actually fair and just. And he says that the Yisra is even when the entire Kavan of the Mesaper is to tell the truth and to make sure that the truth gets out. So nevertheless, it still doesn't matter. These are not excuses for Rechilus. Says the Gemara, Heche Aminamu. So we had said in the Mishnah that we frighten the Edim. So what exactly do we tell them to frighten them? Amr Vida Hachi Aminamu. What we tell them is as follows. We tell them, Nesiyim Veruach V'geshem Oyin Ish Mishal B'matal Sheker, that there could be all sorts of horrible weather conditions that can cause famine, and that's all because of a person who lies, a person who's dishonest. So do not be dishonest in your edus. Amar Rava, so Rava says, nah, yachli the neighbor, shef shni avikafna v'abava umna lo chalif. There are certain people that believe that they are in a profession that is recession-proof, that no matter what happens, people are always going to need, people are always going to need plumbers, people are always going to need, you know, whatever my profession is, whatever I do, people will always need people like me. So they're not going to be scared. You're going to tell them that there's not going to be enough food? They're not going to be scared by that. They know that they're always going to have enough because people are always going to need them. So that's not scary enough. Ella Amrava Amrina Lahu Mapat Svechar Vechet Sonun Ish Onabreu Eid Shakar. We tell them that that people are gonna die from killing and from all sorts of diseases, and that's going to happen. And that is all because a person lies. So Amar Ravashi, Achlemem, Rav Shneur Yavi Muslim, Ve'inish Belo Shnei, Lo Shachiv. No, then the person, just like the person in the first case, is not a Baal Bitachon at all. He thinks that it has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It all has to do with his profession. Now, in this case, the person will turn into a great Baal Bitachon. He'll say, no, a person only dies in his right time. No, a person never dies early, so nothing's going to happen, no matter, no amount of terrible things and disease going around scares me, or war or anything like that scares me, because the person only dies in his right time. So that's not going to scare me either. Elam Ravashi Amarli Nasan Bar Marzutra Amrin Luhu Sadi Shakri Al Grayu Zili, that people who testify falsely, the people who hire them disrespect them. Meaning, what are you doing? You're looking to find favor in someone else's eyes, and that's why you're willing to lie. Oh, if I lie for them, they'll respect me. So you should know that whoever asks you to lie for them, when you listen to them and you follow along with their plan, they disrespect you even more. So you're looking for kavod? You're not going to find kavod by lying. They're considered to be b'nei Belial even by the people that hire them themselves. And that ultimately there's no answer to, because a person is always interested in kavod. You tell them they're not going to get kavod, then they're not interested in lying anymore. So we said that if he says that he admitted to me, that's not good enough. It has to be that you saw him admit in front of the other party that he owes him Masayim Zuz. Our Mishnah seems to be very much in line with what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Sarach Sheyomar Atemedai. It's not enough even that you witness the guy admit that he owes the money to the other party. No, he needs to also tell you, I want you to be my witnesses. So he says, Atemedai, and then he admits that he owes the money. Only then can you testify. It manami amruchi baraba amar Rabbi Yochanan that manu biyalcha amar lo hein lamach amar lo tenei amar mashat anibach potter. If he said, if he had, you see the guy admits that he owes the money, and then the next day he says I was joking around, he doesn't have to pay the money. We assume that he was joking around. That's fair enough. We're not going to just the fact that he admitted does not necessarily mean that he actually owes the money. Tanya nami achi manu biyalcha amar lo hein lamach amar lo tenei amar lo mashat anibach. Potter. If the next day he says, I was joking around when I admitted it, he's potter, he doesn't have to pay. Even if you hide Edim behind a fence somewhere, or and you say that you owe me money, and the Edim hiding behind the fence hear him say, yes, I do owe you the money, then he says, do you want to admit it in front of Edim? Would you like to be moded in front of Ploni and Ploni? He says, no, I don't, because I'm afraid that you're going to take me to a din Torah. So it sounds like the guy really owes the money. He's just trying to get out of it. I don't want to admit it. I'm afraid you're going to take me to a din Torah. And then he says the next day, give it to me. And he's got these Edim that overheard this entire conversation. He says, that conversation, I was just joking. Potter, he's potter. So you see from there that until he says that Atem Edai, he's absolutely potter. If he doesn't say those magic words, the Nitva could just say, Mishat Anibach. Says the Adrama, in order that he not be chozer from his Hodah, he doesn't have to say Dafka, those magic words. It doesn't have to be Atem Edai. He could say in any language that sounds like he's being mechavim for a real Hodah. And his Raya is that the Gemara brings this as a Siyata Tower Mishnah, meaning we're saying, a riot. Our Mishnah is a riot to Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah never said the words Atemedai. It never says that the Eden said Ploni Iduni Al Atzmo, where he said Atemedai Iduni, that they asked me to be the Eden. No, it says Befaneinu Hodalo. So it sounds like any Lashon that is a clear Hoda'a would be good enough. So Atemedai is not necessary, as long as he said something that makes it clear that it's a real Hoda'a and not just Meshat Anibach. That's the Ha'ara of the Adramah. However, Tosa Rush writes that since the Gemara says Lashon Vatemei Dai, only the Lashon of Atemei Dai works. And he brings a raya from the Gemara Nam Beis, because the Gemara Nam Beis is going to say that Rav Papa says that Hoda'a is Mechayiv, even where the Lova says Atemei Dai, and even in the case where the Malva says it and the Lova is Shosek, it's also going to be good. Now, if it works in any other language, so, meaning you don't have to say Dafka the words Atemei Dai, so as long as you know that the Lova intends to be Moda, so of course if the Malva says Atemei Dai and the Lova Shosek, of course it's going to work, meaning any language, anything that makes it obvious that it's Hoda would work. What's the Chiddush on Amud Beis? No, it must be that you need to say those magic words and that counts as saying the magic words. Even if you didn't actually say it, the Malva said it and you just sat there and listened to it, even that would work. The ain't telling in the Mesis. Then the Brisa just adds another line. By the way, we don't make tainas on behalf of a Mesis, on behalf of someone who convinces others to do Avodah Zarah. Mesis, Mandekar Shemei. What does Mesis have to do with anything? We weren't talking about Mesis. So Chsur Mechsra. We have to add a word into the braisa. It should have said as follows: Im lo ta'an, ain ta'an in lo. You know, if the guy admitted that he owes the money, and then the next day they said, "Pay me the money," and he didn't say mishatani bach, he didn't think to say, "I was joking yesterday." We don't make that taina for him. Bazin doesn't say, "Perhaps you were joking." You know, we don't give him that idea to say that. But ubedin nefashos alfkav lo ta'an, ta'an in lo. But by din nefashos, even if he doesn't say it, we will make that taina on his behalf. The ain't ta'an in the mesis. But we never make a taina on behalf of a mesis. Maishna mesis, why is it that a mesis does not get such a taina? Why is it that we don't defend the mesis, even though we try to defend everybody else when it comes to dinei nefashos? Sam Rabbi Chaim Bar Chanina, Mipirkei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Shmueli, Shaini mesis trachman amar lo sachmol v'lo sachasa alav. A mesis is different because it's explicit in the Torah that you're not allowed to have any rachmanos on a mesis, that we throw the book at a mesis. So that's why we cannot make a taina for a mesis. Amar of Shmuel bar Nachman Amar Bionasan minayin shein tal in the mesis. He says, where do I know that you're not allowed to make a taina for a mesis? Minachash Hakadmoni. I know it from the story of the Nachash Hakadmoni causing Adam and Chava to sin. Amar Rabbi Simlai harbi tainos hayul the Nachash liton velo ta'an. There are many tainos the Nachash could have had to defend himself in his din Torah in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but he didn't use any of those tainos. Umnei malo ta'an lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So why didn't Hashem make advance those tainos on his behalf? Lefi shelo ta'an hu, because he didn't make those tainos. So if he didn't make those tainos, no one's going to make those tainos on his behalf, because he has the status of a mesis. In the Iyun Yaakov, he explains that b'derech klal, we're towing for a person because of psach picha li'ilem, that we assume that the baldin isn't wise enough to come up with his own taina, so that's why we have to come up with a taina for him. But a mesis, we have no such chash, because he's someone who's anything but an ilim. He knows how to speak and he's so slick that he gets other people to come under his influence and do as he wants them to do. So that's why he's certainly a bal tachbulos. He's certainly someone who's able to come up with whatever he needs to come up with. You're not going to say psach pichali ilim in the case of a mesis. That's how the Iyun Yaakov explains why it is that ain't torn in the mesis. So says the Gemara, may havel in the meimar. What sort of tainos could the Nachash have said? I mean, he said, "Oh, the Nachash could have gotten out of this. If he was thinking, he would have been able to come up." What sort of tainos? I mean, he caused Chavadi from the Eitz Hadas. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen, Divrei Rav Shomen. He could have very simply said, "Why would you listen to me? Yeah, I'm nobody. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. I told you to eat from the Eitz Hadas. All of a sudden, you're going to listen. You're going to listen to me. Doesn't make any sense that you would listen to me. So I never thought that you would. Listen to me. I never had a havamina that you would." It's interesting because the Gemara said that harbe tainos hayol nachash liton, and the Gemara says, "Oh yeah, what?" And it gives one taina. It doesn't say harbe tainos. It just gives us the taina of divrei rav. So the Marsha explains that the Gemara that we're about to read of Kolamos of Korea is also a taina that the nachash could have had. That it had it not been that he was mosif on the tzivah of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it never would have caused the avera. Meaning, what happened is that Adam didn't just tell Chava that she's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He told her she's also not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas, and that ultimately is what did her in, because the Nachash pushed her against the Eitz Hadas. She touched it, and he said, "See, nothing happened." happened. So it's Kala Mosef Gareya is the other Taina, that it wasn't totally his fault. And the Gemara does express it right now. Says the Gemara, Amar Chizkaminayish Kala Mosef Gareya, where do we know this notion that sometimes when you add, you're actually subtracting, you're actually taking away when you add? So Shnemar, Amar Elkim Lo Sochli Menu Velo Sigubo, Amar Elkim, that Hashem said, don't eat from it and don't touch it. That was a Din Midrabanan that Adam Rishon came up with on his own. This is what the Rishonim already say, that from here you see that you're not allowed to say that a Din Darabanan is a Din Daraisa, that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. And that's what Adam Rishon violated. He was called a Mosef Gareya. He violated Baal Tosef by saying that a Din Darabanan that he made as his own Geder was really a Din Daraisa, was really the Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Mesharshi Amar Mehachi, he says, no, we learn called a Mosef Gareya from Amasayim V'Chetzi Arko. How do we say two Amos? We say Amasayim. Let's say you take away the word the letter Aleph. So then it would be Masayim. It would be 200. So by adding the Aleph, we turn 200 into 2. We are Gorea, we knock it down to 2. Rav Ashi Amar, Ashtei Esrei Yirios. How would you say 12? 12 would be Shtei Esrei Yirios. What do? You add an Ayin at the beginning, and it's so you're adding, and Ashtei means 11. Means not 12. So you're being Mosif, and it's actually being Gorea. Amar Abayi Lo Shana Adam Meshata Nibach. All of this is only if he says Meshata Nibach, then we believe him that he's not really being Moda. Aval Amar Lo Hayu Dvar Me'olam. But if he denies the entire conversation ever happened, then Huchsa Kafran. Then we assume that he's a liar because we know that the conversation happened, and then we're not going to listen to him anymore. Then we're going to assume that it really was a Hoda'a. Rav Papa Breid Rav Acha Barada Amar Rav Papa Breid Rav Acha Bar Amar Lei Rav Papa Breid Rav Acha Barada. It changes to on the side. Hakhi Amri Mishmei Darabah. Kol Mili Dikadi Lo Dikiri Enshi. No, just because he says Lahadam, he says that in the conversation never happened, doesn't necessarily mean he's a liar. It just means it wasn't important enough for him to remember. Things that don't seem important, people tend not to remember. So since the whole conversation was a joke, he didn't think of remembering this because it was something that didn't mean particularly much to him. Says the Gemara, Hahu, there was a case, there was a guy, Da Achman Le Edim Lechavre Bekilsei, who hid Edim against his friend in a kilse, in a canopy by a bed. So the Edim were hiding, and the person, the Nitva, didn't know that the Edim were there. So Amalei Manali Biyadcha, so the Tavea says to the Nitva, you owe me $100. Amalei Hain says, yep, absolutely. Amar, Iri V'shachvi Lahavu Alach Sadi, let the sleeping and awake people be the witnesses. And he thinks that there are no awake people there. But he says, let the people who are sleeping and awake be our witnesses. Amalei Lo, he says, no, I don't want the sleepy and awake people to be the witnesses. Amar Rav Kana, Amalei Lo, he said that he doesn't want it, so then it's not a hodah. You can't testify against him based on that. Similar case, Hu Dachman Edim B'Kivra L'Chavre, someone hid Edim in a kever, in a cemetery, to testify against the other party. Amalei Manu L'Biyotla, so he starts the conversation, you owe me $100. Amalei Hain, he says, yep, I do. Chayu Mesi Lava L'Chsadi, do you agree to have those who are alive and those who are dead right here with us? And it looks like only dead people are with them. Do you agree that the living and the dead should be the witnesses? Amalei Lo, he says, nope, I don't agree to that. So I'm Rabbi Shimon, Amalei Lo, he said that he doesn't agree to it. So Mele, you have no testimony that he in fact was Moda, that he owes the money. Amar Ravina Vitem Rav Papa Shmamino Meha Hadam Ravidam Rav Tzarek Shiyamar Atemedai. We see from here that when Ravidam Rav says that you have to say Atemedai Loshna Kiyamar Lova Veloshna Kiyamar Malva Veshasek Lova, that it can work in one of two ways. Either the Lova could say Atemedai, watch, I'm about to admit that I owe the money, and then certainly you can testify that he owes the money, but it doesn't have to work that way. The Malva could say Atemedai, that these guys should be our witnesses, and the Lova just goes along with it, as long as he doesn't object, as long as he doesn't say low, as long as it doesn't say no, I'm not interested. Because Taimed Amar Lova Lo, in both of these stories, the only reason these guys can't be witnesses is because the Lova said, no, I don't want the sleeping people or the dead people to be our witnesses, the sleepy and the awake or the dead and the alive. I don't want it. But Avli Ishasik, if he would have just gone along with it without saying Atemedai, just being quiet, Hachinami, then they would have been able to serve as witnesses. So you see that would have been good enough. Who Davakar Le Kav Rashu? There was a guy that they used to say that he had a lot of shtaros chov against him. He owed a lot of money to a lot of people. Amar man masik bi. So he used to say, who's going to claim the money for me? Who do I really owe money to? Ela ploni uploni. Meaning, I don't know why I have this reputation that I owe so much money to so many people. I only owe money to Reuven and Shimon. So asu tevuladina kamed rav Nachman. Reuven and Shimon said, what? So Reuven and Shimon, right away, go and bring him to a din Torah in front of rav Nachman. Amar rav Nachman, adam asu shlulas biyasatzmo. Rav Nachman says, nah, he was just trying to make it look like he owes money because he doesn't want people to think that he's a rich man, and that's going to cause him an ayin hara. But he doesn't really owe the money. He was not being serious. They used to call a guy a rat who lies on money, meaning that that a rich person doesn't get any hanah from his money, like a rat who lies on a dinar izav and doesn't get any hanah from dinar izav. When he died, he says, you should know, I owe money to certain people. After he died, those people who he said that he owes the money to came and made a claim against the Yorshin. So they went to the Dintar to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. When do we assume that a person doesn't want to look rich because he's afraid of Ayin Hara? That's only when he's alive. But in his death, why would he care? We assume that he was telling the truth if he was saying it while he was dying. So Paru Palga, the Yorshin paid half of the debt. Tavinu Ledinu Leidach Palga. So then they sued for the other half of the debt. Asul Kamed Rabbi Chia, except now they went to a different dayan. They went to Rabbi Chia. Amaluk, Shem Shad Masr Shlo Lasbias Atzma, Kach Ad Masr Shlo Lasbias Banav. Just like a person doesn't want to bring an Ayin Hara to himself by looking too wealthy, he also doesn't want his children to look too wealthy, and he's likely not telling the truth. Amalei Nezal V'Nahadr. So they said, the Tovim said, should we go and give back half of the money that we already received? So Amar Amalahu Kvar Hora Zakin. No, you already got a psak, you follow that psak. If someone admitted in front of two people and made a kinyan to that hoda'ah, then the edim who witnessed that are allowed to write a shtar hoda'ah on that. V'imlav ein kosin, but if there was no kinyan at the time of the hoda'ah, then they're not allowed to write a shtar. If it was in front of three people and there was no kinyan, Rav amar kosin, Ravasi amar ein kosin. Rav says they can write a shtar hoda'ah, Ravasi says that they cannot. Havuvil chashal Rav lahad Ravasi. Rav is choshesh for shitas Ravasi, and he said not to write a shtar hoda'ah. Amar avad barava ho dis zimn kasvinan v'zimn lo kasvinan. Sometimes you write a shtar hoda'ah, sometimes you don't. Knifi v'yasvi, if three people happen to have been sitting together, lo kasvinan, even though three people normally makes up a beizdin, but they weren't there l'shem beizdin, they just happened to be edim, they cannot write a shtar hoda'ah. Kanfinu ihu kasvinan, but if the guy himself gathered three people and told them to be there, then they can write a shtar hoda'ah, because then they're serving as a beizdin. Rav amar afilu kanfinu ihu lo kasvinan adam lu avu alay dayani, that even if he gathered them for that purpose, they're not allowed to write the shtar hoda'ah until he says, I want you to be my dayanim. That even if he says, I want you to be my dayanim, unless he's kovei a special makom kavua to have the din, then it's not considered that they're dayanim. And you have to actually send in their name to the lova to be mazmin him to a beisdin. Short of that, it's not considered a beisdin, and therefore you would not be able to write a shtar hoda. Okay, but Shem will pick up over there tomorrow.